And we are joined by, I don't know if you guys are called officers.
Yes.
Okay, Joseph Jablonski and Sarah Went. And Joseph has his dog Rogue. Mm-hmm. And Sarah has Murdoch.
Yep.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Doing well,
and
thank you.
The dogs are definitely not at all put off by being up in this little room.
No,
they're loving it. New areas to sniff out.
They're always on the job. That's one thing about him. You can't turn the dogs off.
He's found something interesting there. I must have dropped a cookie.
Did you put clean socks on this morning? Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about your animals. What exactly are they used for besides, you know, looking intimidating?
Well, he does definitely look intimidating, but together we're a canine team that looks for narcotics. We look from everything from marijuana, hashish, cocaine, ecstasy, meth, you name it, what's out there.
How do you train a dog to do that?
Basically, you start out with a soft narcotic, meaning it's marijuana and hash, because that gives off the most odor. His reward is nothing but a towel. So you tie an aid, a little bit of marijuana or hash to a towel, throw it on the field, play fetch. When he finds it, you act like an idiot. You jump up and down like a kid just won a World Series, and yay. He gets excited that you're excited. So then you put it like in grass, leaves, tie it to a tree. Then you go inside and you work on boxes, same way, starting with a soft narcotic, first box, then a fifth box, and so forth. And in vehicles, the same way. Start at the front fender, go to the back fender, gas tank, hubcaps, interior, where the glove compartment would be, what speakers would be, the same principle. And you do the same thing with luggage. First piece, more pieces later. And then after you pass the soft stage, you go into the hard stage. Your ecstasy, your methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin, stuff
and
of that nature.
And those are typically harder to detect?
They give off less odor.
Right. How long would that training program take? That sounds like a couple of years worth of work.
Okay, basically, when I went through school, it was 3 months, and then when you come back to your port, which is the area that you work at, you're in probation for about a year.
Wow. Now, the dog doesn't know he's really working. He's just out there having a good time playing fetch.
It's a game to them. That's all it is. Nothing but a game.
Now, talk about the type of response. You said he was an aggressive response dog.
Correct.
As opposed to the passive response.
Correct. Basically, what he'll do when he finds his odor, he will bite and scratch it and tear it up. Just literally tear it up. And his reward will be a towel. So with him tearing stuff up, we don't run people. That would be a little bit of a lawsuit and paperwork involved.
Yeah.
Just a touch.
Yeah, I mean, should he find something in someone's pocket, that could be a little dangerous to
them. Yes, it would be.
Okay, now let's talk about Murdoch, who is a Beagle Basset mix, you said.
Yes, he is, and he's an agriculture dog. He's trained to sniff out prohibited fruits, meats, vegetables, and plant material. Our initial training is a little bit different than the narcotic dogs. Basically, what we do is we put all the odors five odors that they're initially trained to find, apple, citrus, mango, beef, and pork, we put that in a box in a room, and we bring the dogs in, and beagles are hunting dogs by nature. If anyone has ever had a pet beagle and they take their dog for a walk, they know it's nose to ground and I have to sniff everything. So it's actually very easy to teach a beagle, to train a beagle to sniff out fruits and meats because they want to sniff by nature. Once they go into the room, they instinctively go to this box with all these odors in it, and as soon as they sniff the box, we tell them to sit, and then we give them a cookie. Their reward is their passive response, so they're just going to sit down and put their paw in the bag, and then their reward is just a simple doggy cookie, bacon strips, chicken strips, anything like that.
Now, I imagine people are quite confused when the dog just sits there and plops his paw on their luggage, and they probably go, oh, nice doggy, and they don't think too much of it, do they?
Well, half the time they think he's a pet dog, and he's just someone off another air flight has their pet dog around, and the other half of the time they think he's a narcotic dog, and they get a little worried about it. I always tell people he's too cute to be a narcotic dog.
Does he know that?
No. No.
Okay, if I was flying around, where would I find you?
I am stationed at Chicago O'Hare Airport. Murdoch and I are strictly at the international terminal. So we help clear internationally arriving passengers from Europe, China, all over.
Philadelphia.
Oshkosh.
So I imagine how many hours, let me back up again, try again. How many hours a day does he work?
Well, we're on a straight 8 shift, but he's probably only working 3 to 4 hours a day. And another question that I often get is, well, does he get any play time? Some of that time is spent, you know, playing hide and go seek, running around the terminal when there's no passengers around. We like to run around the terminal.
Find the banana.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, he seems to be quite happy and well adjusted.
I was going to say they both seem to be very happy and well adjusted.
How long does the narcotic dog shift work? Same principle?
About the same. We rotate our shifts, though. Every 30 days we start at a different time and at a different time.
Do you guys typically stay assigned to one facility, or do they move you around?
I get moved around quite often. I go from mail to luggage to freight, and also call-outs where we assist local PDs and other agencies.
We've got something noisy behind us. It sounds like a T-28.
T-28. He's doing his run-ups right outside of our studio. Thank you.
Tell us about some of the funniest incidents you've run across.
Let's see. Well, what's unique is, you know, I get to see a lot of interesting food items from other countries that I wouldn't normally see. You know, from Asia, they bring in this candy. I think it's mostly from China, and it looks like a candy, and if any one of us would see it, they would think it's just, you know, a little piece of hard candy. It's actually a little, kind of like a tiny piece of beef jerky. So, you know, when we first started seeing that, you know, when we asked the passenger, what is it, it's candy, and we would read the ingredient labels, and we would see that there's either beef meat or pork meat in there. And so, because it's really beef meat or pork meat, it's prohibited. But a lot of times people just think, if I declare it as candy, because, you know, regular candy, chocolates and sweets, those are allowed to come into the country.
Right. They're processed.
Yes, so that's okay.
Well, why is it so dangerous to bring in, say, meat from another country?
It can contain livestock diseases. Our rules and regulations are actually based on the disease statuses of other countries. So if we found a certain disease like foot and mouth disease in a different country, then we're going to prohibit those meats from coming into our country because the disease can live in the meat.
Right. Mad cow.
Yes.
That's already had, they've had an outbreak of that in Washington, D.C. recently.
Yeah, they had an outbreak here today too, this morning.
And narcotics, of course, because we don't want the competition.
Right.
Oh! No, he's definitely looking for my camper now, isn't he?
Yeah, for sure.
Get the dog.
We're going to get a raid tonight.
How long have you guys been doing this?
I've been doing this for 15 years. Rogue is my third dog.
Wow.
And they've all been Belgian Malinois.
It's an interesting breed. I've never heard of the breed. I mean, to me, I thought assumed Golden Shepherd because he looks a lot like a German Shepherd. Probably related in there somewhere. Dogs go at home to live with you, don't they?
Unfortunately not. It's our agency's policy to kennel our dogs, which a lot of handlers, me personally, I do not agree with.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, what the boss says goes.
Exactly.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us. Sarah Wendt, you've been listening too. Doesn't that sound official? Sarah Wendt and Joseph Jablonski of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Service. You haven't been listening to their dogs because they haven't really said much.
No, they don't have much to say. They're pretty tight-lipped.